Thank you. My name is Edward Hasbrook, and the service of which I'm most proud is that in 1983 and 1984, I served 4.5 months in a federal prison camp for refusing to register with the Selective Service System. Draft registration was reinstated in 1980 in response to the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. But if the U.S. had sent draftees to Afghanistan then, which side would we have been on? At that time, the U.S. was backing fighters, including those who would later call themselves the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. The U.S. government put me in prison for refusing to agree to fight on the side of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. What does that say about whether we should trust the government to decide for us on which wars we should fight or on which side? I came here today from San Francisco to point out that, like it or not, draft registration has failed. Most of the people subject to draft registration have violated the law, and most induction notices would wind up in the dead letter office. Draft registration proved unenforceable, and the Department of Justice gave up trying to prosecute registration resistors 30 years ago. One of the questions for this commission is whether a draft would be feasible. As I discussed in my written comments, which I gave to the staff and I was told they would distribute to you, the historical evidence is clear that no draft is feasible today because noncompliance would render any attempt at a draft unenforceable. Draft registration is continued only because there's been no face-saving way for the government to admit that its power to conscript is constrained by the willingness of potential draftees to submit. I urge this commission to look closely at the issues of noncompliance and enforcement and to report back to Congress and the President that whether or not you agree with or even understand the reasons for our resistance, a draft is not feasible, and draft registration should be ended. That's all I can say in 2 minutes. I would welcome an opportunity to engage with you further at one of your formal panels in the future.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? If not, I said earlier that if we had an opportunity to go back and give others who had already had a chance to make a comment to follow up on their earlier remarks. We have a few minutes left, and I would invite you to do so if you'd like to. Yes, sir, the gentleman in the third row, please.
I spoke earlier about conscription. Let me talk about the other side, service. I share the feelings of others who've talked about the inherent contradiction. There's a word for compulsory service. And that word is slavery. If you want to encourage any positive definition of service, it must be voluntary and completely separate from any system of conscription. You cannot have a system that serves both conscription and positive service. Second, military service is service to the cause of war. That's what it's for. If you want to encourage a positive notion of service, you need to separate it completely from military recruitment or incentives for military enlistment. Third, people can best serve and provide leadership, especially the youth leadership we so much need, by making their own choices. Service should not be limited to options approved by the government for nonprofit service. And finally, and most importantly, the largest barrier and limitation to the ability to serve today for our young people is student debt that forces people to serve higher paying jobs. The best way to enable more people to serve is to free them from vocational training debt by recognizing education as a human right for all and shifting funding from education and job training from loans to grants, not tied to any obligation.